This is Unfortunate History.
What's up, everybody? This is Cody Pennington.
And I'm Sam Brown.
And welcome to Unfortunate History. This is a podcast that covers the interesting, wacky, and truly unfortunate moments in history. And today, we will be discussing the Irish potato famine.
Ooh.
Because I felt like it was a good week to give a shout out to the Irish people. I think we made fun of them last episode or the episode before, and we got to give a shout out to the Irish people.
So you're repairing bridges, are you now?
Yeah. I can't believe we're even big enough to destroy them at the moment.
I've been slinging mud and you realize, oh wait, we're not big enough to do this. We're going to have to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to backstep a bit this week. And we're going to, like I said, give a shout out to the Irish people, even though it's with a pretty awful moment from their past. Now, to all of you Irish listeners, and I know there are a few, I watch the demographics like a hawk. Please let me know, let both of us know, if we get something wrong in this episode. And please forgive us now if we laugh a bit during this story. Some of it is a bit funny, but obviously the overarching story is pretty tragic. But please forgive us if we giggle. Sam, do you know anything about the Irish potato famine?
Very, very little.
Oh, great.
The only thing I'm not sure is it one of those things that kind of, was it one of the issues, or I guess kind of part of the reason for the migration of many Irish away from Ireland and to America?
Well, we will get to that, good friend.
Good. I'm just thinking Titanic in my head. That's all I can think about. It's like an Irish Leonardo DiCaprio being like, there are no potatoes, I'm going to America.
Was that what happened? Was Leonardo DiCaprio Irish in Titanic?
I'm pretty sure he's meant to be.
See, he does not have an Irish accent whatsoever.
Although, he really doesn't, actually, in hindsight. That being said, I'm not even sure if that timeline comes across. So, we're gonna get so much in the
game. Oh, they had so many potatoes on the Titanic. I don't think this was around the same time.
Like, look at all these potatoes. We're taking them to the States.
Oh, look at all these fucking spuds. Crazy. It's a crazy amount. This is a Titanic amount of spuds.
And these aren't for eating. These are just for potato guns.
Yeah, they're just that side. They're that side on the buffet and on the cruise ship buffet that nobody touches. It's just a big old plate of potatoes.
And they're just throwing them overboard.
Well, if you don't know, as I'm sure not very many of you would not have heard of the Irish potato famine, but the Irish potato famine, or as it's also referred to, the Great Hunger, began in 1845, and it nearly destroyed the entire country of Ireland. It was so bad. I mean, we can't understate that. But as most of us may know, the Irish are a very stout people, and their country survived to become one of the most beautiful and welcoming countries I've ever had the pleasure of visiting. Truly.
I'm jealous, actually. I've never been. I suppose maybe someone like an American like yourself might find that hilarious. You're like, it's literally like an hour that way.
It actually really is.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad, actually. I've always wanted to go. It's just one of those things that you, for some reason, you end up going to some places much further.
That's true, yeah. You just want to get away from home as much as you can, but less than an hour plane ride, yeah. Sam. That's crazy. You really should take the effort.
Yeah.
But speaking of how stout the Irish are, I'll share a quick story. I won't try to digress too much. But I was doing a tour in Ireland a couple of years ago. I was doing a tour, like an acoustic type thing, when I was working on a cruise ships. I took some time off, flew into England, and then did a month around Ireland. And I was staying at this incredible campsite where I would just wake up in the morning and watch the sun rise over these Irish rolling hills, these giant rolling hills in Ireland. It was absolutely incredible. So cool. And I did a gig at this one family-owned pub, you know, these really proper small town pubs. I don't know how the hell they booked me, but it was in the middle of nowhere. And they were really nice, really good people. And they bought me Guinness. So like they would bring me a Guinness, speaking of how they're stout, right? they brought me this Guinness, right? And I don't particularly like Guinness. Particularly like Guinness outside of Ireland, but in Ireland it has this completely different taste. And I started drinking it while I was playing my set, And then about three songs later, I went to pick it up again. It was about half full. And everybody went, no. And they made me stop and said, you need a fresh one. It's been sitting for too long. I was like, it's been sitting for like 10 minutes. What do you mean it's been sitting for too long? And they ended up bringing me a fresh one. And they brought me like five or six free Guinness just fresh because they knew that if it got down, if it sat for like 15 minutes, they were like, no, it's bad. You got to get a good one. You got to get a new one. And they made me drink. We had a lock-in where they lock you in. It's a tradition in Ireland and I think in England as well, but they lock you in the pub till, I think I was there for till about 2:30 in the morning, just drinking Guinness and singing songs nonstop. And I was completely hammered. I think the rest of them got up and went to work in a bank the next day or something, but talking about how stout they are. They are very stout people.
That is one of those stories that I was like, I so wish that had happened to me. I was like, I'm so jealous of everything about this story. Then you said the I don't like Guinness and you 180'd me. And then you finished off the conversation with, you have one in Ireland, you realize like, I think my brother was on tour years ago as a guitar tech. And he said, it was one of those funny things where he was like, the Grafton Street Guinness was easily the most expensive Guinness he ever had, which he thought was hilarious. He said, however, it was definitely the best he'd ever had.
It's crazy, man. Guinness does not travel well. If you like Guinness now, listener, you need to travel to Ireland and try it there. It's absolutely amazing. It really is completely different. But yes, the Irish are stout people. But at this point in history, they were truly in a pretty bad way. Now, hopefully during this episode, we can make it clear to you listeners just how awful this famine truly was and how hard it was and how hard it made the lives of the Irish at the time. Because you may well joke about this being a thing, and I certainly have in the past, but at this point in history, this was like their World War II, but with spuds, you know?
World War II with potatoes.
Yeah. And also during this episode, we will be answering that age-old question. Were there no potatoes or were there only potatoes?
Oh.
It's a very important question that I've never had answered until now.
You basically said they had no other forms of nutrition.
Well, it's always like a thing. When you say, oh, the Irish potato famine, people are like, wait, it was Irish potato famine. It was famine. Does that mean that they only ate potatoes or that they didn't have any potatoes? And then most people say, if they didn't have any potatoes, then what was the problem? Why didn't they just eat something else? It's all part of the story.
It's like, you've clearly never been to Ireland.
You don't get it. Go on. UK or Ireland and UK food, there's no seasoning. They don't have salt here. It costs too much to bring it over. There's no pepper. There's no garlic. It's just a potato.
Actually, just peddling off the back of the potato thing, I don't know why the story jumped into my head. My one of my best friends, his wife is Irish, and I think last time he went across and stayed with them, his wife's mum said to him one day, she was like, Dave, how do you like your vag? And he was like, what? And apparently vag is like a term for potato. I don't know if it's like short for vegetables or like potato, but he was like, what? And she was like, do you like vag? And it just started, yeah, getting this from your in-law, it just totally curveballed him. I just thought it was, I don't know where it reminded me of that.
I fucking love it. I eat it all night. I eat it every night.
Oh, no.
I eat it all night, Grandma. It's like out of Snatch, isn't it? You like dags? Yes. You like dags? Oh, dogs. Yes, I like dags. Well, to set the scene a bit for this story, we should probably discuss exactly what was going on in Ireland at the time. At this time, prior to the famine, actually, Ireland was a part of the United Kingdom. Today, Ireland, other than Northern Ireland, obviously, Ireland is its own separate country. But at this point, it was a part of the United Kingdom, and it was actually referred to as the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. Now, the important part of this is that being a part of the UK gave the Irish representation in Parliament. Obviously, Parliament controls everything in the UK. If you don't have representation, you're pretty much screwed. Well, the only issue with that is that the Irish weren't really represented by the Irish. The Irish were represented by British people, the British landowners that lived in Ireland, and the more wealthy British landowners. These people were the ones that were representing them in Parliament. So they didn't really have their best interests at heart.
I was about to say, I'm in my brain, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I heard like this simultaneous yays from Brexiteers and boos from actual Irish people.
Now, the reason why the Irish were represented by just the British people in Parliament is because of religion. Especially at this time, and even now today, Irish people are mainly Catholic, right? That's the main religion of Ireland, it has been for centuries. Well, the main religion of England at this time in history was Protestant. And the Protestants thought, I didn't know this until I researched this, but the Protestants don't like the Catholics because they believe that the Catholics got a bit too big for their britches and became corrupt. Which I wasn't necessarily privy to before researching this episode. So in a way to punish the Catholics, the Catholics were prohibited from holding elected office by what was called as the penal laws. Now, the penal laws were literally just laws made to restrict the freedoms of Catholics at this time. Now, I don't know if I could say whether that's good or bad, but I suppose the Protestants may have gotten a bit of this right with the penal code, judging from what the Catholics ended up doing to those little boys.
Oh, goodness. Dark topics. Well, we went there.
We're going to get some hate mail, I can imagine.
Yep.
Well, this issue with the Irish being represented mainly by British people caused an enormous disproportion of power. Now, this disproportion of power is very important, especially in the religious sense, because the Catholics were mostly not landowners at the time. It was all Protestants, all British people, and they were controlling the countries, basically. So most of the land was owned by the English families, and the Catholics, the Irish Catholics, were made to pay rent instead of owning the land. Well, this would obviously put the Irish people into the lower class, definitely impoverished. So the British came over, took over their land, basically shoved them into the lower class. Now, in the lower class, what do you think they ate?
I'm going to say...
cauliflower. First exactly.
First of all, I was going to say typically, I'm like, oh my God, that's so typically our ancestors coming over here, shoving religion down people's throats. And now apparently, I was going to say annexing them to be fair, most people actually wouldn't complain if they were annexed to the potato. I'm pretty sure it's the thing that in England we love the most, but you totally curveballed me with cauliflower.
No, it wasn't cauliflower. I was just joking.
Oh, right.
No, it was the potato. Yes, they were.
I bet everyone else got that. That just went right over Sam's head.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, it did. It was a potato. But funny story, actually, the potato was not actually, or is not actually, native to Ireland. The potato had actually been brought to Ireland about 100 years prior to the famine by the English.
Oh, do you know what? I did know this, actually. I think this was mentioned to me somewhat in the past. But was it natively grown in England, or did we get it from somewhere before that? Or do we not know?
Fuck if I know. I really don't know that.
is a great response.
This is the Irish episode, okay? This is not the worldwide growing of potatoes episode. This is just Ireland. I didn't know this, but apparently some English lord had brought the potato over and grew it in his farm, and then it just kind of spread from there. He grew it in his own private patch, I think is what it was, and then it just grew from there to being a staple in Ireland's diet. And actually, there's only one variety grown in Ireland, or there was. I'm not actually sure if that's his current news or not. Irish people, I'm sure you know this, just let me know. But the only variety grown in Ireland was the Irish lumper. So it might not have been the best potato. I don't know if I like lumpy potatoes. I'm not a big fan.
I mean, lumper isn't... I mean, maybe it's a little bit less elegant than maybe something like the Maris Piper potato or New Jersey, New Jersey Browns or whatever they are. This is the Irish lumper.
Yeah, Irish lumper. It's like, it just sounds angry. It sounds like an angry potato.
It sounds like the potato you would use to kill someone with.
Yeah. It's a potato that does not like other vegetables on its lawn. It's a very angry, angry, upset potato. Just not happy about being in the cold climate of Ireland.
Oh, that's great.
Well, in 1845, the potatoes took a hit. Now, the reason these potatoes started disappearing, because they did start disappearing, a germ called P. infestans. That's not French. That's the Latin term for it. P. infestans. I'm probably pronouncing that incredibly wrong, but it's a germ that began attacking the potato crops. And this started to mold the crops and actually just completely destroy them, making them completely inedible. And since the Irish had been pushed into the lower class by the penal codes, like I had said, it was their food source that was directly affected by this germ. Now, as you can tell, the problem looks like it's going to be that there were no potatoes instead of only potatoes. So yes, the age-old question, the answer to that question is the problem is that there were no potatoes to eat.
I was going to say, I thought the question is, where are my lumpers?
Yeah, give me my goddamn lumpers. Just doesn't sound right. Sounds like that sounds like the term for like a half-off prostitute. like a budget prostitute, you know?
Where are my lumpers?
Is there a lumper here? Do you have a lumper?
It's like a dirtier lower class version of Hooters, maybe. Welcome to Lumpers.
Oh God, welcome to Lumpers. Oh God, try our potato wedges. Oh no, that's
welcome
disgusting.
To Lumpers. Oh my goodness, we should get t-shirts made for that.
Yeah, yeah, the Irish Lumper. Patty, the Irish Lumper. You know what? No, okay, I'm gonna say that if you're a sex worker and you go by the term Lumper, that's fair enough, dude. Do you?
Let
I don't.
Us know in the comments section. I want to know if there is any sex workers that go by the name of Lumper.
Yeah, I don't. Lumper the Humper. Or
yeah. And if so, how is business being a Lumper or the Lumper?
I feel like, is it better during COVID or is it not? It's difficult to get love during COVID, isn't it?
Lumper love.
Yeah. No, fair enough if you're a sex worker, honestly. Not saying anything against it, do you? I don't think it should be illegal personally, but you do Ayo. You.
Or, you know, or you do other people for money.
Yeah, yeah, do that. I'd make your money. Whether you're a male or female, make your money. Make that money, man. Or woman.
And if so, let us know if there are any openings in the industry, because in the times of COVID, we could do with some of that.
Yeah, man. This podcast is making zero cash and all of my gigs have been canceled. So help a brother out. I'll lump a couple people for Fivers.
This is our new male escort company called Lumpers Humpers.
Okay, we have to stop talking about sex.
Oh, goodness.
We always do.
Yeah,
we always end up back at sex. Well, as the potato crops were destroyed, the Irish petitioned to Queen Victoria to provide assistance. Queen Victoria in Parliament. They had to obviously ask for permission through their British overlords, I suppose, but they needed assistance. They had no access to food. Now, Parliament did initially help them. Firstly, they repealed their tariffs on grains, and then also they repealed certain laws surrounding crops like corn. Previously, the tariffs and laws on these crops like corn and stuff had actually made those crops cost prohibitive. Could you imagine not being able to afford corn?
Well, my missus has like a popcorn addiction, so it'd be pretty much devastating for our relationship.
It'd be devastating for anybody. I can't even imagine a 22 pence or penny thing of a can of corn, and you can't afford it. You're like, sorry, Timmy, we can't eat corn this week. That sucks. Like, and you know what though? I will say that I've been my life young when I was younger. We did have times when in the house all we had was potatoes. I've literally lived that before, and that does suck. But good Lord, not being able to go and rummage through your couch and find enough money for some corn—that's insanely poor. That is insanely poor. I mean, people were worrying about buying the PS5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They can go out and buy corn whenever the hell they want. They don't have to worry about this. Now, the repealing of these laws did relatively nothing for the Irish population. They had absolutely nothing. They were still struggling. They had no potatoes. They had no money. There was nothing they could do to make up for this lost profit. And the fact that the government basically looked at this and said, you know what? We'll drop tariffs. That'll help the poor. The port. This isn't so. I mean, it's understandable that the economy works in a way where if you drop tariffs, then the base price of something is gonna cost less. But they couldn't afford them to begin with. They couldn't afford them now. Now, I hear you, listener. You're asking yourself, well, why the hell couldn't they have found something else to eat? Surely there was other food around. Well, shut up, listener. I'll tell you. During the famine, Ireland was actually still exporting an enormous amount of food, mainly to, guess where? England.
England, yeah.
They didn't stop during this giant famine. They were still exporting an incredible amount of food. And historians have actually provided research that suggests that the exportation may have actually increased during the famine. Basically, the English were like, well, this place is fucked. Let's go. Let's go home. Like, they just fucked off and left the Irish people.
That sounds like our ancestors. And I love that you love, like, rich people solving poor people problems. Ah, it's all right. We'll lower the tariffs. And, like, we couldn't afford them to begin with. Oh, well, could you stop being so poor?
Well, why don't you just start a business then? Like, the fuck's wrong with you, Lord Jackass? Are you kidding me? Not everybody has the same opportunities, which is a very real statement even today.
Yeah. I love that. Like, for instance, it's like for me, it was that like that Donald Trump line where he was like, "I started my own business with a very modest injection of $1 million."
Very modest.
Like that. A very modest injection. I was like, oh, fucking hell.
I think Taylor Swift did something similar. I think her family provided about $1 to $2 million for her career to start out. Which, if you can start with $1 to $2 million, not everybody can turn that into something, but it's a fantastic base. I think with $1 to $2 million, I could turn this podcast into a hit, personally.
To be fair, on that $1.2 million, she probably made, I don't know, about half of it back.
Don't know. Do you think? I think she made quite a bit of it back.
Well, not these days, really, but there's an old adage, isn't there? It's like, how'd you make $1 million with music? Start with $2 million.
Oh, that's true. I've never heard that adage.
Well, for any aspiring musicians out there, we hate to break it to you.
It sucks. Don't do it. It sucks. Start a podcast.
And make. How much? Hey, in fact, I don't know the dime that this is on. We're going to make him say it publicly on air.
What's that?
the dime you're making from the podcast.
How much,
like,
money?
Oh, I don't. Negative million pennies.
I'm definitely in the negative. I pay for all of the websites and stuff, so I'm in the negative now. But our amazingly supportive fans, thank you guys so much. Yes. They're going to help us spread the word, the good word, the good unfortunate history word.
You're gonna help Cody with advertising and buy that sweet merch. Yeah. Christmas is coming up, people.
Actually, sorry, guys. The merch store is not up just yet. I'll explain that at the end of the episode. Well, like I said, England, or the English, pretty much, yeah, England was exporting, Ireland was exporting a large amount of food to England. Now, the goods exported included nearly every food you can imagine, and every food you can imagine a poor person could afford. The English took the peas, the beans, the rabbits, the roast beef. They cleaned out the country of Ireland as quick as a flash. Why, the British even took the Irish's last can of hoo hash.
This was a clear setup. So. I'm going to act on behalf of, I guess, most people here, where I go, "Hoo hash? Tell me more."
Well, no, that's from The Grinch Stole Christmas. I'm just saying that English stole Ireland's Christmas, okay? They really fucked them over.
I thought we were maybe working with another name for our prostitution agency.
Hoo hash? That sounds awful. That's a terrible name for a prostitution agency.
Lumpers didn't sound much better.
Well, no, Lumpers didn't, but at least it had a good oomph to it, you know? You really want that bottom bass in there when you're going to get a prostitute. So I hear.
quickly tacking that on.
Yeah. No, Hoo Hash sounds like an awesome name for, like, an independent marijuana agency, or like a marijuana grower. Hoo Hash.
Hoo Hash. Especially if you say it like that.
Hoo Hash. Hoo Hash. Well, it's definitely Dr. Seuss. I don't know if Dr. Seuss will get into the marijuana trade. I hope he will, but Can you imagine reading a Dr. Seuss book while you're completely blazed off your head? I don't do weed.
Yeah. I don't do the marijuana.
I don't do drugs in any form or fashion, but I can imagine that would be a fucking trip. Now, this famine and this subsequent exportation of everything that Ireland needed lasted for 5 years, and it actually ended up killing as many as 1 million Irish men, women, and children. And a further 1 million, Sam, to your point earlier, immigrated from the island to escape the Protestant-imposed poverty and starvation. Now, one place they immigrated to was, of course, America, where they sure were not liked for a while. They did not accept them initially.
Now, was that just for being an immigrant?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a
thing.
Have you
not heard how the rest of the world treats immigrants?
This has been a thing for a long time. Yeah, they were not liked just because they were immigrants. And you know what? They were white. So you can imagine how bad other people have it. They were not liked whatsoever. I think, and obviously immigrants, especially moving from an incredibly impoverished place like Ireland at the time, they were the lowest of the low, not saying this as people in general, but they were in the lowest class they could possibly be forced into by the British. And they were going into a country where they were able to at least get work for bottom dollar salaries, but they were able to put in their own effort to make their lives better. And of course, they're going to go in and do whatever they can to make it better. And then obviously that would have a knock-on effect, as people like to claim it would today, although government regulation today really keeps immigrants from causing an enormous amount of any really sort of effect on large economies. It's very unlikely to happen today. At this time, yeah, of course, they would have caused a bit of upheaval. A lot of people losing their jobs because they're losing it to people that'll work a lot for a lot cheaper, that sort of thing. Right. Obviously, that would happen around this time. But even still, they were still very not liked. And that's a knock-on effect even to this day, obviously.
It was a rough time. You know, get starved out of your own country, have to move somewhere else, and then be told you're not wanted there as well. And this is something that, you know, people really, really experience in real life. You know, that is rough.
Well, you know, not to make it all about me, but I've experienced this.
Yes, our very own reverse migrant, I suppose.
Yeah, I came back. I'm back home. No, I have experienced this before. I was in Scotland actually playing a gig. No, sorry. I was in England playing a gig, but it was for a Scottish family. It was a wedding, and I went to talk. I was outside, and they were asking me questions while we were on break, and asking me, you know, about the music and that. And the mother of the bride was there, and she asked me a question, and I answered, and she said, "Are you American?" And I was like, yeah, I'm from Nashville. And she has just had this disgusted look just pop out of nowhere. Just like this very disgusted, like, ugh, like terrible look. And I was like, that was so rude. I said that to her. I was like, that's very rude. Okay. And then I ended up walking away. But I mean, when you experience something like that, that's on the most minuscule scale of experiencing xenophobia. Obviously, I'm nowhere near getting stabbed for being American, but
very true. However, I was going to ask the question: was this over the duration of the Trump presidency?
Yeah, it was. Now, following the Great Potato Famine, there has been a hot debate on whether the British government just ignored Ireland's plight during the famine, or whether they just, well, it's claimed that they may have just screwed up their response because they were incompetent. But to that point, at a certain point, you can't just keep using that excuse. Oh, the world has never experienced something like this in our lifetime. We've never had to handle something like this. First with losing control of the Americans, then the potato famine, now with COVID. At a certain point, you kind of just have to own up. You know, England was pretty fucking big dicks to the Irish. I think we can agree with that. And, I mean, kind of to the Scottish. I mean, look at William Wallace. You know, poor Mel Gibson was beheaded, and he's a national treasure, even though he's batshit crazy and I believe a bit anti-Semitic.
All I can say on the behalf of my ancestors is they were probably like, "You're welcome." being a few generations down the line and having nothing to do with it, we're sorry. Like, our history is a little bit. Go there, do the dickhead thing, and leave.
It's the same thing with Americans. I mean, well, actually, to be fair, we were British coming over to America, so it's kind
You're
of
welcome.
Yeah. You kind of started this.
we really did. Actually, the further you go back into history, you're like, man, the Brits were dicks.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go back even further, though, you notice that Julius Caesar was an asshole. I mean, yeah. Alexander the Great before him. I mean, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff back there. I mean, people have been dicks for a long time. But you would hope that at least England would say, you know what, we did wrong, and own up to it. Well, England's time to own up did come, and it was in 1997 when Tony Blair issued a formal apology to Ireland for the UK's handling of the Irish potato famine.
So over a hundred year late apology.
Yeah, but he did it. You know, I mean, what else can you do? I guess.
I guess it's the whole better late than never thing, but I know some people don't really take that. I guess I'm like, well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty terrible, but I mean, obviously, now today, Ireland is an incredible place. I love Ireland. The Dublin is absolutely booming. It's actually, the price of living there is even more expensive than London. So,
right,
that's good and bad because it has not expanded yet. So, if you want to go up there and spend £1,000 on a room, you're going to be sharing it with about 8 other people in like 4 Ooh. Bunk beds. So, it's going to be difficult. Now, right. Actually, interesting little bit of fact before we start to close out here. To this day, there are actually still people researching the tragic events of the Irish potato famine and its effects on the Irish people, which must just be a fantastic job. It's one of those jobs where you kind of just reread the same book and hope you find new information, I guess. Like, you notice one sentence you didn't notice before. You're like, oh, yes, of course, the British, yes, they took our beans.
So, I'm rereading it and going, nope, I still take from this the British dicks.
Yeah, they're still assholes. I mean, I guess you gotta reconfirm the British, the Americans, all the world superpowers are dicks, at least annually.
So, given what you've just said, so obviously, we talked about like the very late apology by the Blair. I just wanted to ask, what was the initial recovery like, or was it, and how long did any that kind of recovery take? And was it just because of such a mass migration of the population to different areas that the little or I guess dwindled population that had remained in Ireland, or was it just that the few resources were left that were easier to kind of distribute and were more accessible to people? And I guess the other question is, like, how much of the population remained, if you know, and how many went?
Well, yeah. Well, like I said earlier, about a million Irish immigrated out. But those that stayed, the famine continued on for quite a while in a few isolated areas, but by about 1852, it was largely gone. It came to an end. The main point of recovery was, yes, there was less population and the potato crop began to recover. So they started to get their food supply back, and the population had dwindled down so low. During the famine, it dropped from 8 million to about 6.5 million. And then with the mass immigration over the next couple of decades, it went down to 4.5 million by the turn of the century. So this whole thing had a huge knock-on effect. And obviously, yeah, they, with this huge exodus from Ireland, it obviously allowed the remaining population to survive a bit longer and to rebuild itself.
So there was about half the population that left. So like 2 million died and another like 2 million people left. So they were left with, what did you say? Was it 8 million or so, 8 plus million down to 4.5?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, that took a long time to happen. I mean, obviously, I don't remember if I said earlier if it was over 1 million or if it was 1 million, but it was definitely over a million people dying. And by the end of it, records, I guess, show that it was 4.5 million by the turn of the century. So the people kept jumping ship over the next couple of years until Ireland finally kind of rebuilt itself. But the famine caused such a huge knock-on effect that people just abandoned the country for the longest time.
Wow. Yeah. And that's mad as well, because we think we obviously we talk a lot about population these days. So, and I couldn't even imagine what the population of Ireland must be now. But back then, that must be, I mean, even just if you just think about the number, that's just an insane amount of people to leave the country or to die.
Well, Ireland's population at the moment is 4.9 million.
Oh my goodness. So like in some ways they almost never recovered.
They legitimately seem to have never even recovered from that, which is
wow,
absolutely bonkers to think about. The fact that like it's hard to explain this, right? Because if you've not experienced poverty in your own, then you won't, I guess you won't really have a good in-depth grasp of it or a first-hand grasp of it. But even if you have experienced poverty, you've probably not experienced poverty to the point where you have to leave your country. You have to, or else you'll die. And you use everything. I mean, they had no money for food, so they obviously had to use all of their skills possible to get out of that country. That's absolutely insane, especially the fact that apparently they've never even recovered from this whole issue. That's insane to think about. And I apologize. I didn't actually have that information up while I had researched. So that's very intense stuff.
That's just me keeping you on your toes, mate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do that, please. Everybody do that. Keep me on my toes. Well,
that is mad.
I suppose, yeah, the Irish potato famine. Yeah, it destroyed an entire country. And the country has even yet to recover, hasn't it? It's absolutely insane how far this thing has gone. And it goes to show you that when you, I suppose, take over another country, if you're not to take care of the people of that country that were there already, you're going to cause them to lose not just their culture and not just their lives. You might cause them to lose their entire country. And it could take centuries upon centuries to recover. And we still, I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you when Ireland's population will recover. And I suppose that is what's truly unfortunate.
Amen. Amen. Truly unfortunate indeed. So lack of lumpers is basically what we can say about this entire episode.
Should I make that the name of the episode? The Irish potato famine, lack of lumpers.
A tragic lack of lumpers.
A tragic lack of lumpers. That's the one. There she blows. I'm doing it. A tragic lack of lumpers.
On behalf of the Brits, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this one. This was a bit more of a relaxed episode because I've been so swamped with university and the baby and stuff, but I thought it was an interesting one to take a bit of a break on and to kind of have a little bit of fun with, I suppose, even though it is incredibly tragic. So I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed it too, Sam. It's good to have you back.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be back. Thank you very much for having me. I feel like I don't bring as much comic appeal as Greg brings, but hopefully I'll bring, I don't know, lumpers. In fact, you brought lumpers. What did I bring?
You brought the British astuteness, which is, I suppose, is worth at least a lumper or two.
I'll take astuteness. I think Greg and I are from very different ends of the country, so like I probably sound like the guy that would do that to the Irish. I sound like the guy who makes those decisions. I promise you, listeners, I have nowhere near that much influence or wealth.
He can't take my lumpers. You won't take my lumpers, God damn it. They can take our lives, but they will never take our lumpers.
And there it is.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Quick little housekeeping, I suppose. I want to give a huge shout out to Dwayne. Dwayne, thank you so much. Dwayne, first of all, he's been sharing the show with his friends to get us more listeners. That's amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And also, Dwayne brought it to my attention that our server on the website was down, which was causing a lot of issues with people listening to the show. We were able to fix it that night. So thank you so much, Dwayne. Thank you for bringing that to our attention on Facebook. That really has helped out. I mean, it's amazing to see people reaching out whenever there's a problem. Do that. Reach out if there's a problem. Don't just leave us a one-star review. And then also, I want to tell everybody, if you want to get in touch with us, feel free to get on Facebook. We have a Facebook group now that we're starting to slowly use a bit more. Just go on Facebook and search for the Unfortunate History Podcast group. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter or what have you. And you can also sign up to our newsletter on our website, unfortunatehistory.com. The shop is not up right now because I have some issues that I need to fix with it. So you cannot buy merch at the moment, which I know every one of you guys is sad about, because the shirts were flying off the shelves. They weren't, but they were flying. they were trickling out of there. But thank you guys so much. Even if you don't want to buy a shirt or anything like that, that's fine. Even if you don't want to follow us on Facebook or whatever, that's fine. But please, if you don't mind, if you're on an Apple device, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be really helpful. And show your family or show your friends, tell your family about this show. Show anybody that you think would be interested. It really helps us out. We're going to start doing some more ads in the near future to hopefully boost our fan base and hopefully get it to a good point by this time next year. Maybe we'll be in an actual studio. Let's God willing, who knows, especially post COVID, for the love of God. I just want to get rid of this shit. If you want to follow me, you can Google Cody Pennington. Sam, do you want to say?
You can follow me at Lumper Lover. No, I'm joking. I just want to say if I'd have been a Greg, that would have been my Instagram handle this week. Disappointed it's not the name of the Facebook group. But you can follow me at it's got such a crap Instagram handle, at Sam TA Brown Musician. We can see what I'm up to. But in the meantime, I think we should start the hashtag Lumper Lovers.
Lumper Lovers.
I think we should get some t-shirts or something with that made on.
Hashtag Lumper Lovers, yeah. And if you want on the show, if you want to follow the show, you can now just Google Unfortunate History. So feel free to do that and follow the show on all of the bullshit social medias or the newsletter or whatever. But having said that, unfortunately, we got to go. So stay unfortunate, everybody. You can say it too.
Oh, sorry. All right. Stay unfortunate, lover lumpers. Oh, fuck, he fucked it.
And we're out.
Lumper lovers. Stay unfortunate.